Hello. My name is Abigail.
And my name is Matt.
And welcome to the Polyglot Progress Podcast.
All right, so today we are going to be discussing quality versus quantity in language learning, and we both have two very different interpretations of basically the prompt today. So do you want to explain yours first?
Yeah, so we actually already recorded the intro to this podcast, but the mic wasn't working, so that's how we kind of found out that we both interpreted this very differently.
And that will explain the lower quality of this podcast, because we are in need for a new podcast mic.
Yeah, we're having a little bit of issues there. So we were inspired by an old blog post by Lindsay Does Languages, which had something to do with, like, language learning quality or quantity, something like that.
Yep.
And what we're talking about isn't really about the content she wrote in the blog post. We were just kind of inspired by the title. So that's also how I kind of took it as, like, quality, like, how well you speak a language versus quantity, how many languages speak. And Matt took this as, like, quality of a resource versus how many resources you have.
Yeah, I had this whole explanation, which is, you know, I've got, if the first thing you see when you walk into my room is my two bookshelves, which are stocked with language learning books, and most notably a bunch of Teach Yourself resources, and I have everything from A to Z, Arabic to Zulu. Not every book in the series,
you
but you know.
Afrikaans.
Oh, I couldn't do that.
That's Arabic's. No, wait.
Nope,
yes.
Afrikaans
okay,
would
wait.
Beat that.
I don't know why I was like Arabic, A, B, and I like forgot there's like an R in there.
Yes. So I was saying, like, you know, yes, those are a lot of resources, but I've got, you know, one book on Croatian, one book on Zulu, one book on Hindi. I don't have three Zulu books, two Hindi books. I've got the Teach Yourself resources because I find them to be a high quality. And now, of course, the quality of the resource varies from resource to resource. But, you know, I find it to just, I trust the series to educate me. And which is why, you know, if I find a book that's at a bargain, I will grab it because, you know, I could see myself using it one day.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, basically.
Yeah, so we kind of always go into the podcast with a few notes that we write about the topic, and then we end up talking about them and kind of branching off of what each other says. So this is kind of going to be Matt's going to go off of his notes, I guess, for his topic, and I'll go off of my notes for my interpretation, and the rest will just kind of be discussion, because we both took this very differently.
Yeah, so there'll be basically two discussions going on, one having to do with the language you speak and how well you speak it, or the languages you speak and how many. And the one will have to do with the quality of a resource, or how many resources you need. Does having multiple resources help or hinder you? Does having one resource that's really great help, or one that's not so great hinder you?
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so would you like to maybe pick one and start with it, and then we can move on to the other one?
I want to start with yours, because that's something I'm passionate about.
All right, so so, just to recap, we are going to begin with quality versus quantity in language learning. Quality, how well do you speak a language, versus quantity, how many languages you speak.
Yes.
There is a lot of controversy and debate with this in language communities, I've found at least.
Oh, I definitely think if you ask anybody, if you ask anybody this question, everyone will have a different answer.
Yeah.
So and remember that these are our opinions, of course. It's a
yeah,
podcast.
Obviously this is our opinions, and we're going to have a discussion, so we'll most likely have different opinions.
Yeah.
That's kind of how it's been with every podcast, even ones where I thought I was going to agree with you.
Yeah.
We end up having really different opinions.
Or, like, you come into the argument with one idea, and you leave with, like, the other person's.
Oh, my gosh, if you really want to see that, go to the one that's classroom versus independent learning, where I went in, and I was really confident in my side of the argument, and then I left and felt like a mess and didn't know how I felt anymore at all.
How'd you come out of that? What did you like more?
I went in saying classroom, and then I left saying, wait, I don't know, and then I left saying, I think independent, actually. And so that was a mess, and I really want to revisit that topic someday, because I want to see what happens.
Yeah.
Okay, so the first thing I have is that it's a personal decision. There are some people that want to learn a lot of languages.
And they make that a life goal.
And there are other people that want to pick up, like, maybe a second language. Like, let's say your native language is English, and they want to learn Spanish to the level as if they'd learned it their whole life.
Okay.
And they want to be, like, bilingual, like, fully even with your languages. But then there are other people, like I said, that just want to be like, I want to learn 15 languages or whatever. And maybe they don't want to learn to a high level necessarily.
Yeah. Like conversation.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a personal decision. I don't think there's any way to say which is better because it's all about what your goals are in life.
Yep.
And with language learning.
Yeah, I totally agree.
So, personally, which one do you think you are?
What are the two options?
Like, quality or quantity?
Oh, I think it doesn't matter the quantity I want to speak, but the quality I speak them is what matters. I think, like, you know, I can say, oh, I speak X languages, but it doesn't have the value of speaking a language at such proficiency, which is, I think, why I'm so meticulous about pronunciation and why I, you know, care about which click I'm making and I get upset when I do it wrong, like I just did.
But then to spin you off, you've got, like, language books for, like, maybe 20 more languages.
Oh, I do. And that's just because I have such a fascination with languages that I would love to delve into them, learn the culture. I mean, Norwegian and Swahili and specifically, I'm very passionate about wanting to learn them because I love the two cultures. I mean, there are really multiple cultures within those cultures, which is why I find it so interesting. But just both the languages I think are beautiful. And I think, you know, I was writing about this in my Common App essay, which is just, you know, I think language is a type of music. And just, I find it honestly so beautiful to listen to. And that's why I love going to the city and whatnot. Just hearing all the languages spoken. And I like to replicate those sounds. And, you know, I would just love to communicate with everyone who speaks the languages these books teach me.
So overall, if you had to pick, you'd rather speak, like, a smaller number of those languages up there.
I think
so. At a higher level.
I think so, because then I would understand more. And it depends on how, I want to say, engrossed in a language I am. Because I can honestly become consumed with a language like German or Norwegian or French. Like, in the culture and the media and whatnot, like, I just can let it take me away. But then again, I love learning multiple languages and I like having, you know, multiple, so I'd say I'm kind of a mix.
Yeah, I literally wrote in my notes, I'm both and neither.
Oh, really?
Like, because I don't want to learn just as many languages as I possibly can. But at the same time, I do have, like, a language bucket list.
Yeah.
And there are probably, I'd say, like, 15 languages total on there. Maybe something like that. And that includes, like, ones that I'm learning or have studied in the past or whatever. And the thing is like, I don't want to learn just as many languages as possible. I do have a set number. But that is a large set number. And
that fits for someone interested in languages.
Yeah. And the thing is that I'm not expecting to get all, like, let's say there's 15. I'm not expecting to get all 15 to be the same as my native level of speaking, or even as the same level as each other necessarily. Like, I have different goals with all different languages. Like, even currently, my German and Esperanto, like, I don't really feel the need to get them much further. Like, my German's not really even that high of a level at all, but I'm currently in a place where I'm comfortable with the conversations I can have, and I don't really have a desire to make it further right now because I have other languages that I want to study a little bit or get to a higher level or something first, and maybe in the future I'll come back to German. But at first, I really want to just get, like, a foundation with all these languages that I want to learn, and then kind of pick which ones I really like the culture for, really like the language for, whichever ones I enjoyed the most are kind of the ones. Like, even I've started learning Bulgarian, and that's one that I want to get higher than my German. And I don't know, that's just kind of where I am right now. Like, I have different goals with different languages. My French, I am trying to get as close to my native language as I possibly can. Like, that's the thing. And, like, I really want to work on my accent and things. But, like, my Esperanto, I'm totally fine leaving dormant all the time. Like,
you just
other
don't
than
use it as much.
Well, I don't use it. So I honestly leave my Esperanto dormant until I am going to, like, a polyglot conference or something like that.
Where you know you'll have speakers.
And then, like, just a quick refresher, I know enough Esperanto to go speak to someone again. Like, it's something that
it comes
I remember
back really quickly.
So I do like to touch in with languages and just kind of, like, refresh my memory from time to time so that they don't die out completely. But, like, my goal isn't always to get them the best that I can necessarily.
Yes.
I've got different goals at different moments, and obviously, like I said, they change. Like, maybe someday I'll come back and be like, actually, German's my next priority. I'm going to get it to a higher level. That kind of thing. I don't know. So,
and now, how are you neither?
Well, you just kind of that's the thing, is like, because I don't want to have them all the highest quality, but I also don't want to learn every language and have them all be, like, I can say a few phrases, or I've studied them, but I can't actually speak them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'd prefer to have the languages that I can speak be whatever level I want to be able to speak them at.
Okay.
Whatever I feel my ability and my goals suits best with the language. Like, also, I mean, if I were to say, like, oh, I'm moving to Germany or something, I'd probably want to get my German a little
higher. Oh, yeah.
Like, I mean, like, my language goals change based on my life, too.
Oh,
like,
totally.
Whatever seems like it'd be useful or interesting at the time.
It's funny, right as you said that sentence, right before it, I thought that line in my head. I'm like, oh, so your language goals change as your life changes. And then
yeah.
You said it.
Yeah, I mean, and languages have been added, even. Like, there were one or two languages that, like, weren't necessarily on my list. Because I am picky about my bucket list. Like, it's like,
yeah,
I'm picky,
are.
But I'm not. Like, there are a lot of languages, but they all have very specific reasons that they're on my list.
Mm-hmm.
And very specific reasons that I want to learn them. And, I mean, that's why I'm motivated to learn them all.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, so I do my own thing.
Yeah, and I think that's admirable. I think it's good that you do your own thing, because you shouldn't let what a blog will say or what a figure will say about language learning guide how you do your own thing.
Yeah, and there's always that kind of thing where people are like, well, it must be that you don't like the culture as much if you don't want to learn this language.
Okay.
Or you
yeah,
don't want to learn
that's
it
an argument.
To a certain thing.
That's an argument.
And
that
we're definitely going to have a whole other podcast
oh,
about
boy.
That. But for now, like,
oh, no.
It's like I just, it is based on my life and my goals at the moment. And if I have no interest, like, or, like, my life plan currently doesn't see me going to a certain place or doing things in a certain language, chances are I'm not going to learn it unless I have, like, a really big urge to learn. Like, Bulgarian, I currently don't have any set
yeah,
reason, I guess,
you.
To do it. It just interested me a lot and now seemed like the right time to start it.
Mm-hmm.
And where I go from there will change based on
yeah.
things. That will also depend on resources, to be honest.
Oh, totally. Totally. And that goes right back to my argument.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then people, there's the language community on Tumblr.
Language.
Is somewhere that I want, something that I want to talk about specifically here, because I mentioned that it's very controversial in language communities. The Langler, specifically,
mm-hmm.
I see lots and lots of posts calling out people who are, like, learning multiple languages instead of being super great at one.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like the general goal of most Langlers is to get really good at one language.
Mm-hmm.
And
again, that's fine.
And
that's
it's fine. It's fine for them. But the problem is that I see a lot of people that are like, hey, I'm learning French and I want to add Zulu and Croatian and Arabic or something. And they're like, add none of them ever. Like, you need to focus on just one if you ever want to be any good at anything.
Yeah.
And it's kind
and
of like
it,
one of those things.
I think it's wrong to tell people what they should do. I think people should have their own decision, do their research.
Yeah, I mean, granted, like, someone did message them asking for advice.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing
oh,
is,
well,
is I think
there,
there's also
yeah, there you go.
But there are also some posts that are just like, why won't everyone just stick to one language? Like
mm-hmm.
that kind of thing. And I don't know. Like, I feel
mm-hmm.
like it's not great to be against people dabbling in everything or like learning a lot and only being A1, A2 at all of the languages they learn
mm-hmm.
as opposed to being in the C range with one language.
Yeah.
Like, it depends on what you want.
That's a very interesting argument, which is, you know, oh, is it better to have, you know, a few A-level languages or, you know, better to
well,
have...
Well, that's kind of this
it's the same
this
thing.
Discussion.
Or is it better to have, like, a C or two?
Yeah.
A C1 and a C2. I mean, it's tough to say. It's based on personal preference, like you're saying. It's based on your life. It's based on what you want. Do you want to just dabble? I mean, dabbling's
fine.
Even
only speaking at an A level, you can still have a conversation with a person.
Mm-hmm.
You just, there will be a lot of topics you won't be able to talk about, and you probably won't feel the most comfortable in the conversations and things.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, again, if you're saying maybe you're going to Greece or something, and this is the one time you at least know of you're going, and you're only learning so that you can get around and you want to be able to talk to locals and things, being an A1 with your Greek and only being able to say enough to get you by in that country and maybe have a few small talk conversations with people.
It's totally fine.
I don't think that's a bad goal if you don't have any motivation to learn Greek beyond that. Like, your motivation is, I want to learn this much for this trip, and then maybe in the future I'll go back, but...
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like,
yeah.
I don't know. I just see no problem with it, even if it's not what I do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I like to get all mine, I feel like, at least into the B range.
Yeah, I think the B range is a great place to be for just learning a bit if you don't have, you know, a long-range goal with the language. Like, I mean, I didn't get my Swahili near there. I feel like my Norwegian is, like, A1, A2. And, you know, that was... basic. I made one video in Norwegian.
Mm-hmm.
And then have I even learned anything else that I've spoken on the channel? I don't know. There's that video I made in Esperanto ages ago that I re-uploaded to the channel.
Mm-hmm.
And I could not have remade that video because I simply don't have that knowledge anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you know, knowledge fades from in a language and, you know, it takes work to keep your knowledge, you know, shiny and new.
And that's one of those things, like, that's why I, like, my sacrifice has been in order to make time for the other languages that I want to learn and keep up. Esperanto is dormant for me, and it's not upsetting for me at all that it's dormant, because it's not something that I even really have ways to use in my daily life.
Yeah, honestly.
Like, I talk to people online in Esperanto pretty frequently,
mm-hmm.
but... I don't know. Somehow
that
doesn't. It's actually not anymore.
Oh no.
Because I said it in some other language for a little while, but I think it's in English for some reason now.
You should go in Bulgarian. Do they have an option?
I don't know. yeah, but I mean, it's okay for me. It doesn't need to be studied right now, especially mm-hmm. because I can remember things enough.
Yeah, and it's not.
And it's just not used at mm-hmm. the moment, so it's okay to like kind of label that.
Yeah. Totally.
Also, like, I just want to say, like, progress will definitely come quicker if you're learning one, or if you have lots of time, maybe two or three, if, like, you have your whole day to dedicate to language learning, like, maybe that's your job, maybe you, like, review language learning resources or something.
You want to see a perfect example of that? Look at me.
Yeah.
I had a goal for a while, and, I don't know if this will come out before the update video, but in an update video that we filmed,
mm-hmm.
I discussed how, you know, I'm not going to be learning Spanish for the upcoming school year. And, you know, I came to this decision because every day I have to, as of right now, spend 30 minutes for my Ad1 challenge learning French. And I've made it part of my daily routine to spend those 30 minutes learning French. And I typically go over because I just like taking grammar notes and learning because, you know, I'm interested in languages. But it is tough to go past those 30 minutes into Spanish where I'm at a much lower level. It's somewhat familiar because it is a romance language. And just...
But then it might be too familiar too.
It was...
You're like...
I mean, a lot of the verbs are similar. They've got... One of the verb classes totally overlaps the IR,
mm-hmm.
and that messed me up a bit. But I don't think I even went as far into learning, like, a lot of conjugations. Like, I just... It was almost just too stressful an experience for me because,
mm-hmm.
you know... And I was doing it for, you know, kind of a silly goal. I just wanted language learning in my daily life at school, but I could just have it at home.
Yeah, you could... Or bring your Norwegian book to school and during study
hall. Which is what I'm
going to
do.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. Just what I did last year.
Yeah, so, like, progress will come quicker with one, or maybe two to three, if you've got lots of time.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, you'll still make progress if you're doing others.
Two or three at a time.
Something I want to say is, because I feel like this would end up about the same level overall, probably.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a question of, would you rather learn one language a year for 5 years, or five every year for 5 years? Because I feel like in the end, a year of spending on one language would probably end up the same as if you gave it one day a week or, like, worked on a little bit every day for a small period of time for 5 years. And it's just, how would you rather get those five languages to that level?
Mm-hmm.
Would you rather do one every year for those 5 years or learn all of them for the 5 years? Because I feel like it's about the same. And so I feel like you can't totally call people out on not...
Sorry.
Excuse the mowing if you can hear that. Like, you can't call people out on learning a bunch of language, like, maybe doing that one-a-day thing where they do, like, one on Monday, one on Tuesday, one
also,
on Wednesday thing.
I just don't think it's good to call people out on learning.
Education is
great. Just let people learn. Let them have a good time. They're learning. They're educating themselves. They're learning about the world, for gosh sake.
For gosh sake. Yeah, but, I mean, so I don't think it's a bad thing to spread yourself thinner with languages and spend a longer period of time.
So long as you're enjoying it.
Yeah, if you're enjoying
out.
It. Like, if you would rather have... You don't want to wait that extra 3 years to get to the one language or whatever that's set
yeah.
for year three. Like, why not do them all and keep up with them all throughout the thing? Because then none of them are going to, like, be forgotten either.
Mm-hmm.
And also...
Yeah, keep them all fresh.
Like, also, I just want to point out that...
Mm-hmm.
Like, language learning has been lifelong for me. If you watched or listened to our first podcast, we talked about kind of our experience with languages. And, like, even summer going into fourth grade, I decided I was going to teach myself Italian.
How did
and,
that work out? I don't think...
I could speak some Italian by the end, but, I mean, I don't remember any now at all besides... Buongiorno, and I don't even know how to pronounce it. Like, that's how you say hello, and
I only know it from Peppa Pig in French.
So that's, like, literally all I know in Italian.
Yeah.
At this point. So, really, did it work? Actually, yes, because I could speak a little by the end. I've just forgotten literally all of it. But I also, we need to bear in mind that I wasn't studying every day.
You were also a young kid.
I was a young child, so I had no discipline. I wasn't studying every day. I was using a resource that is really questionable to be using as your only resource.
Was it Muzzy?
It was. actually, no, I had some books, too. I had some, first 1,000 words in Italian or whatever. I didn't own them, though. They were checked out of the library for, like, a week at a time, and I'd be like, gotta memorize all the words, and then I'd send them back. So, really... Like, I had no Italian notebook. It was not my best studying, but I was 9, so you can't expect too much from me. It's been a lifelong thing. But I never took it as seriously as I have until, like, about a little over a year ago. Which was when we started learning Esperanto, and then it became, like, a thing where I was like, I can learn all of the languages, I know what I'm doing. Or I guess it came a little bit before that, because I was learning other things in high school, and then
mm-hmm.
that's what inspired me to learn Esperanto, because I was like, I like learning languages for fun.
Yeah, I've been with German for a few years, and I had the opportunity with you to learn Esperanto, and I just, you know, after there, I was like, Japanese, Norwegian.
Yeah, well, for me, like, I was learning Swedish throughout the beginning of high school.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but the resources I was using for that is even more questionable than Muzzy.
Oh, boy.
I can now finally
yeah.
tell you guys what it was because they got shut down.
Do we say it?
Yeah, wait, what was it called?
Live Mocha?
Live Mocha. Was it?
Yeah, it was powered by another questionable language learning resource that we can't name.
So I was using that only to learn Swedish, and didn't learn a ton of Swedish.
Do I say what it rhymes with?
No.
Okay.
So I was only using that, and that made me realize that I liked learning languages, and so that's why I picked up Esperanto, and then from there I was like, I have been able to put this into my day every day.
Mm-hmm.
Now I can learn more languages in my day every day, and that's what inspired me to learn other ones. So I can speak 3 more languages than I could a little over a year ago. So, like...
That's absolutely crazy.
Sure, I haven't learned them all to the, like, C range. But within 1 year, I've picked up 3 languages at a way that I could have a conversation with you.
Mm-hmm.
So, in that sense, I don't think it's bad to switch around between languages super often.
Mm-hmm.
And add a bunch. Because that's 3. That's a fairly big number if you're talking about languages you can
speak.
And you
got English next to that, right?
What? I didn't learn English
this
year.
No, I know, but, like, in your count of languages... That you can speak.
English and French are not counted in the count.
Oh, wow.
So that's
okay.
5 total.
What are the 3 you're counting? Bulgarian?
Esperanto, German, Bulgarian.
Oh, okay. Okay. I always forget Esperanto.
So, yeah, like, so I don't think it's a bad thing to switch around a lot. Because if you think about it, if I keep switching around like that,
mm-hmm.
in
you'll eventually
40 years or something.
Oh boy.
I'll be under 60 still.
You'll have to make up new languages.
I'm not saying adding more languages, but if I keep going back and forth between like those languages, I'll get to a high level.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think it's bad to not immediately stick with it until it's at a high level.
Mm-hmm.
You can move around a bit.
Totally.
I mean, overall, that does bring back the argument of, oh, so then do you have to get them to a quality level eventually? No. If you want to learn, I showed Matt a post at one point of someone who, on Facebook, someone had asked, like, how many languages do you want to speak by age 60 or something, and someone goes, well, I'm learning 145 now, so hopefully 145. And, like, they were dead serious about it. So, I mean, if that's your goal, like, even if you speak them all at A1, like, why not?
Yeah.
Sure. Like, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. And also, people that are like, I want to pick up Swahili, but I'm learning Hindi, and I can't do it because I need to get my Hindi to a super high level.
I love how we need to name languages.
So we just look up a bookshelf and pick random books. If you're ever wondering how we get the examples, that's how they happen.
Yep.
I just pick random ones from up there. So, like, you have your whole life to improve and to learn as many languages as you want. So, like, unless you really want to discipline yourself and stick with Hindi until you're ready for Swahili, why? Why discipline yourself so much?
Yeah.
Like, you can do what you want. If you want to take a day's break from your Hindi and pick up a Swahili book and start learning some phrases because that will be what makes you happier with language learning,
then do it.
Why not?
Do it. Honestly.
Like, you have your whole life to mm-hmm. learn languages, and I feel like people forget that, and I know you've said you forget that a lot.
I forget that a lot.
Because
I forgot that so many times this summer.
Because you just see, like, your goal right there, but, like, you literally, all these languages, like, 15 isn't a lot then when you look at my list of 15 languages, because I've got, hopefully, quite a few years left on my life. So, I've got all that time. And also, with the quality over quantity thing, you can also have a couple, and also kind of with my thing of, like, it's different depending on the language, you could have, like, one language that you study and want to get to your native level, and you could also just, like, dabble in things. Like, you don't have to commit to actually learning something.
Mm-hmm.
You could just, like, do Japanese grammar for fun if you find it interesting. Like,
totally.
Read about Japanese grammar
mm-hmm.
and, like, study just that, and maybe you know no Japanese words or anything and could never speak it, but, like, maybe that interests you, and so you just, like, look at it. Or, like, do something just for fun. Like, maybe you like to know a few phrases in Arabic or something, because
mm-hmm.
maybe you have, like, an Arabic friend, and you want to just be able to be like, look what I can say.
Yeah.
Like, that kind of thing,
I picked up Turkish for a night, because I was going to the Turkish Cultural Center near me on Long Island, and I wanted to, like, be able to communicate better.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, they all spoke English at their meeting because I was there and I wouldn't understand. It was very nice of them. But I said, next time I come, I will know some Turkish. And I can't remember any of it now, but I know, I want to say one of the words was, like, merhaba, only because it's similar to Swahili, marhaba, which is, like, just a greeting in the Muslim world. I don't remember what it means, though.
Amazing. Matt's Turkish lessons.
Oh, yeah, it's really... Oh, guli guli, I know, which is bye.
Good job.
Guli guli.
Thank you.
I love it.
So, to recap, if it's for fun, why not dabble?
Yep. Do what you want.
But if you want to learn a language all the way, go for it. Like, do what you want. That's just my opinion. I feel like the one thing I take out of that is, like, it's all personal. So people need to stop saying what you should do and stop being like, you claim you speak German, but your German sucks. Like, it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Let them speak their German. Like, maybe they don't want to know it to a high level. Unless you, like, are claiming, like, I speak German at a native level. And then you don't.
Yep.
But other than that, do what you want.
Mm-hmm. I completely agree.
That's the end of my argument.
Oh, so you're done?
Yeah, I think so.
All right, so I'm going to move on to how I interpreted this question, which was, when learning a language, do you want the highest quality resource or do you want many resources? And the reason I interpreted it this way is because I've had experiences with both methods, with both ideologies. When I took on a language such as French, I sadly went the method of having the most resources I could, and I stocked up on music and movies and what else?
You have books. A lot of books.
I've got a lot of books. It's a tiring number of books. And it went on and on and on, that when I actually sat down to learn the language, I found I was spending too much time deciding what book I'm going to use. And that's not how it should be with language learning. You should have your resource you're going to use, and you should spend the most time learning the language. But yes, I'm just trying to get my words together because I have it all in my head. So, like, that's the reason I have a bunch of teach yourself. It's because I find the quality very high, which is what I like. So, you know, I'll sit down with French and I'll try some other books, but I don't find the quality very high. I'll move over to teach yourself. And, I mean, I mentioned before, like, sometimes I'll find cheaper resources and I just can't pass up a deal, which is why I have a large quantity of resources. And I don't know if it's possible. I think it is, because I think you're a good example of this, which is, like, can one have limited resources but have an extremely high quality and get very far? Because I had limited resources with Mosa, and I didn't get far because the quality wasn't that great. And it was Teach Yourself. It was Teach Yourself, Mosa. I have to, no one knows it's wrong probably, but I just need to correct it. I only had the one book. It was all I was using. I couldn't find any resources online or elsewhere to aid my learning. Anything I wanted would be way too expensive. And so I had to stop learning that language. And it was upsetting, but then take the opposite of it. And when I wanted to learn Swahili, I had one physical resource, which was Teach Yourself Swahili, and then I used the internet and YouTube and online videos teaching Swahili, and I found I had so much. I had an endless, you know, treasure chest of resources, and just, you know, it was endless. And so it's very difficult to say whether one should spend time researching what other people think about language learning resources, because honestly, you're the only one that knows what you will get out of it once you use it. And there's always like an age-old battle between colloquial and teach yourself to language learning book series. And I've used Teach Yourself the most, which is why I always default to it, and I've used only a little bit of colloquial. I like both. You've had more experience with colloquial now because colloquial is the Bulgarian resource you've been chiefly using.
I have, but I was planning on making a video that was going to be Teach Yourself versus colloquial because I went through a whole Teach Yourself book with German, and now I've got colloquial Bulgarian. However, the video is going to be put off until I finish another colloquial book, and I'm going to be using that in the comparison because I am not a fan of colloquial Bulgarian, and I was like, oh, maybe it's just not for me. Maybe Teach Yourself is my series.
Mm-hmm.
Picked up Teach Yourself Bulgarian. They're equally bad. It's
really
just a Bulgarian resource problem, and I've noticed this among everything. I really don't have a lot of experience with ASML, but I tried the first few pages of it, and it seemed to be going in the same direction. But again, like, maybe the ASML book
is
better.
And it's not, like, a problem you're having with the language? Like, it's just bad teaching?
No, it's, like, because there are things that I'm like, okay, I'm going to go learn this, because I've had to start scheduling my own kind of lesson plans for it, because there's so little to work off of. So I've just kind of gone off of what I know is useful in other languages I know, and it'll be things like, they just don't teach you it ever.
Okay.
Like, there are things that I learned within the first chapter of, like, my German book,
mm-hmm.
that is never covered in the Bulgarian.
And, like, those
book.
Are simple tenses or articles?
They're, like, simple concepts that just
okay.
are never covered.
Interesting.
And what I think is the problem is that with languages like German and French and things that have lots and lots of speakers
mm-hmm.
and lots of teachers of the language from all over the world that are trained not only in the language but also in how to teach it,
mm-hmm.
they can be very selective with who they pick to teach it for the book.
Yes.
But with Bulgarian, you have one country that yep. speaks this as an official language.
And the amount of people there who...
And then it's yep. not taught very many other countries as a language in schools.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got a very limited number of Bulgarian teachers that can teach someone the language as a foreign language.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that the resources are just a lower quality because of that.
Because of the
And
low
so
number.
I found that for me, the best resource for learning Bulgarian is Italki lessons, because those basically are the teachers of the language for foreigners.
Mm-hmm.
And they do a much better job of teaching me what I need to know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just even the way they structure the books. Like, I didn't learn about family through the book. I learned about it through an Italki teacher, and the book just brought it up in chapter, like, 10.
Okay.
Is where I learned family and, like, just really simple concepts.
Mm-hmm.
And so...
And also, I've got a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Do you like it or get annoyed anytime you pick up a language learning book? And, like, the first few chapters are at the hotel, getting on a plane, at a restaurant. Do you, mm-hmm. are you okay with that? Because sometimes...
That's my whole Bulgarian book, which is the other thing, is I think
yep.
it they are mainly expecting if you're learning Bulgarian, you're probably just going on a trip and just want to learn basics. But also, my book teaches you the weirdest vocabulary. Like, I don't know how to say, like...
Cup.
Like, there are words that... I'm blanking on, like, everything right now, but there are words that you should learn your first lesson that I don't know, but I know how to say honeydew melon. And, like, I know
okay.
how to say the historical, like, site and, like, the National Library and, like, places and things that I don't need to know at this small of a level. Like, I need to learn those later on, and they just... It's such a weird choice in what they taught me.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm putting off my video, because I don't think it's a problem with colloquial.
Yeah, like, I
at this point, because
I
checked with the teacher self, I was like, maybe colloquial is the problem,
mm-hmm.
but it's kind of like an across-the-board, all Bulgarian resources kind of do the same thing, and it's weird, and I'm not a fan. So my, like, comparison is going to be put off till I have a different colloquial. I'll buy it for maybe the next language I learn. I'll buy a colloquial and use that and compare
yeah.
it with teacher self, because I feel like it would not be a fair video if I used it for Bulgarian at this point. So, yeah. So
I just picked up a colloquial book. This colloquial Norwegian, and I'm just flipping through it.
Oh, you wrote in this.
I wrote in it? No.
Mm-hmm.
Where?
Go back. You wrote in pen.
Pen?
Mm-hmm.
There's no way. I wrote in this...
That's really surprising. You, like, never write in things.
What?
Especially not in pen. Not even in pencil.
Oh, God.
And you dog-eared the page.
I dog-eared it. I dog-ear pages a lot.
I know, but some of your language books, you're like, I will preserve it so someone
yeah.
else may have
yeah,
it in
no,
the future.
Yeah, no, my French book, I have just, like, page flags on it.
But you wrote this in pen.
Pen. Oh, no.
Getting mildly off topic because we just discovered Matt's
Bokvel.
Writing in his Norwegian book. Why did
oh
you bring
my.
This down?
I
Was
brought
there
it down
purpose?
Because I wanted to look at how this is formatted based on how you were saying.
Oh, I can
the
show you my book
infinitive.
Later.
What
I'll show you
mean?
My book, and then I'll show you the teacher self one. And I also don't know, they might be older. Well, the colloquial one I know is not an older copy.
Mm-hmm.
Not so sure about the teacher self what, like... Teach yourself one that is, if it's been updated
a lot
recently.
Of teachers of copies are really old.
Yeah,
they
exactly, so I'm not
yeah.
sure if it's old and there's an updated one that's better, but from what I found, Bulgarian books aren't that good.
Yep. And this might just be the case you haven't found a very high-quality one yet, because, you know,
well,
like you said, the market's very limited.
Yeah, it's a very limited... Well, the thing is that there are good resources. Like I said, Italki teachers are great for this.
Mm-hmm.
They're very happy to teach you their language, as there's not a ton... not a huge market for it. There's not that many people that are looking to learn it.
Mm-hmm.
So they're very eager to teach you, and they're very helpful. I love a lot of them. So, yeah. It's... So there, I'd say... Maybe quantity is better than quality, because
yeah.
I feel like if you've got really low quality resources. For me, what I found is using a bunch, like using the teacher self and the colloquial, and just trying to get as much as I can out of them to make up for the fact that I don't have one that's that good. Like, just learn as much as I can through various ones might be my best bet.
Yeah. I was just going to mention what my overall opinion is on this argument. I want to pose a question. Does having a plethora of resources help? And my response to that is I don't know, because I've been in both situations, and I can only say that sometimes it's better to have one very high quality resource that keeps you coming back to it and keeps you engaged. For instance, like with my French, I had multiple books and tools that I would spend more time deciding what to use than actually learning. So I basically say choose a resource you like and stick with it. But again, it's tough to know what you like until you try a few things, because it's based on personal preference.
I mean, it's also better to have a plethora in the sense of, I think you should have one good reading, one good writing, one good listening, one good speaking resource. Like, at
and
least,
if you can get that...
If you can get that all in one, then you only need one resource.
Yeah.
But overall, you need at least the four bases covered. So if that requires four separate resources, like maybe one that's simply writing...
Yeah, like something great with colloquial is it's got writing exercises. It's got a lot, actually, at least Norwegian. I mean, I know Aspen has
so
a bunch.
Teach
and then colloquial has all of its audio free online for their newer versions, and they're going over their older ones, making the newer ones. Meanwhile, Teach Yourself, not all of the audio is available online for free, at least.
You have to buy it.
You have to buy it. Sometimes you'll buy a secondhand copy and it won't come with a CD. This has been my problem with most
books. I want to know what happens there. Are the people keeping the CD, or did they lose it? Or are they literally just holding on to the CD?
You don't need the CD if you're selling the book.
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering. It's like, what use do you have for the CD after you sell the book?
I don't know, man. It's crazy. Oh, man. Yeah. Are there any other thoughts we have on this topic?
Oh, it's it?
I'm asking. We're at a lull in the conversation.
Oh, I didn't know if you had any more notes.
I do not.
Oh, well, yeah, I'd say, again, it varies, but it also, not only does that vary on the person, I think it varies a lot on the language.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for me, I'm totally fine having 1 to 3 resources. I like to have at least more than one, so
I
can
cross-check
and do work spread among things. But like I said, with Bulgarian, it's just a lot of that for me has even been making up my own vocab list of things I want and looking up the words online through, like, Memrise and things. So, depends.
Yeah, but like Abigail said, we're definitely going to have reviews in the future when we finish more books of both series, and, you know,
yeah,
when we find stuff we like, we definitely like to share with you, like Polylingual.
Yeah, I'd like to start doing more reviews on this channel of different brands, as well as, like, specific to language things. But like I said, my colloquial versus teach yourself thing that was supposed to be out super soon is going to be pushed back for...
Mm-hmm.
A little bit of time. I don't know. Until I figure out which language seems like the best one to learn with colloquial, and that occurs.
All right.
So, how about you? I'd like to know if you like to know if you like to learn things like more languages or at a higher level, like we were discussing in the first half of this.
Yeah,
and
please,
also how
let us
you
know what
feel
your goals are.
About quality or quantity of resources too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'd just like to know on both
if
topics.
You have any favorite resources for any certain languages, please do let us know. Because
I will also say, because a lot of people recommended intensive Bulgarian for me when I was looking for resources, I haven't started using it yet. So when I say I've not found any books I liked, I have not started that one yet, so I don't know.
I have
the book.
Do you have the audio?
Yes. I have the book at my house. I just haven't gotten to it yet, because it actually doesn't start you at a beginner level, it seems.
You're probably fine for that now, I think.
I'm probably okay now. I was just waiting till I knew a bit more vocab so I could start it. But I'll get to that soon.
Alright.
Alright.
So that's good.
Thanks for listening.
Thank you so much. Remember,
practice
makes
progress.
Bye.